As I was in Hagerstown, some of you know Brother Joe and Sister Carol. They had a gentleman, a friend of theirs, that's been coming for many years, and Brother Ron and his wife. And Brother Ron, myself, and Brother Joe became very good friends years ago and just got talking about some things, mainly hunting. And we always had a very special enjoyment with one another. And as I was there, I understood he's in his last days. And I had Brother Brian and Sister Charlie took me out for lunch, and they made arrangements to take me over to see him. And he was still coherent. They were calling the family in, and I got word yesterday that he passed. But I believe with all my heart he made heaven his home. He enjoyed the services. When we got there, I asked him, or just one of us asked him, you know, we're going to sing a song. What do you want? Would you have a favorite song? And he didn't particularly have a favorite song. He goes, any song dealing with the blood. Kind of took me by surprise of all the songs that are. So we sang. I said, there's power in the blood. And we sang, and he sang it right along with us, you know, some of the chorus and things. And after that, he wept. And but we were thankful to be there. So Sister Charlie texted me, I think, yesterday and told me he passed. And but I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to know him. And I thought when I came home earlier this week, I started looking at this thought. And so pray to God to bless us through this thought this evening. Exodus chapter 12. Most of us know the story here. We're not going to go through the whole story of when God made a covenant with Moses, with children of Israel, to take a lamb out of the midst of them and to sacrifice that lamb. And we're going to read verse 13, just verse 13 here. And God told Moses, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where you are, and where I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Amen. You know, as I put this message together and pondered it and thought about it and things, there's a lot of songs in our songbook about the blood. The blood is important. A lot of times we don't hear too much messages about the blood, but the blood is everything in the salvation. The blood is everything in Christianity. Without the blood, there is no salvation. Without the blood, there is, even in the Old Testament time, even as God told Moses, and we'll go back a little bit further in a little bit, even as God told Moses to do this sacrifice and to spill the blood, even in the blood back then, without the blood of Jesus Christ shedding his blood on the cross, they would not have had salvation. Through faith of the sacrifice they were doing, to believe that one day a Messiah was going to come and shed his blood to cover all the sins of mankind that put their faith in God. So the Lord told Moses, the blood. The blood, and we'll talk about this here in a little bit, the blood shall be a token upon your house. And God told Moses to take the animal, whether it be a sheep or whether it be a goat, and to kill the animal. And to take the blood, and I've used this door all the time over here, to take the blood, and the ones that were in the house, to take the blood, they use a hyssop, which was a piece of a plant, and they took and they rubbed blood all along the doorpost here, all along the doorpost here, and across the top of the doorpost, but they didn't put blood on the ground, and they put blood on the posts on the sides and across the top. And God says, when I come through the land of Egypt this night, when I see the blood, I'll accept that you believed in faith and did that by faith, and I'll pass over your house. Because of the blood. Because of the blood, those that were in that house were saved. Anyone else that didn't have the blood, the firstborn died in that house. Whether it been an animal, whether it been an individual, a person, male, female, the firstborn died. So the blood was important, and God made it emphasized back there how important this was. The blood. There's power in the blood. I'm going to quote a lot of verses from the songs tonight. There's power in the blood to save from sin. Power in the blood to bring peace where guilt had been. Brother Mark mentioned. I brought a message here and I brought a message in Hagerstown. There's an experience in salvation.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I thank God there's an experience of salvation. I brought a lot of things up about people do to have an experience. They want to do some things. I do this a lot of times places. I told them I didn't have to raise your hand, but I asked. I said, "How many have ever jumped out of an airplane?" I've seen everybody's head looking around, see if nobody raised their hand. You know, I don't know if anybody did. I told them they didn't have to. But people do things like that to get the experience. I want to do something that's thrilling or whatever, and they get the experience of that thrill. They get the experience of doing something, and there's many things. People want to get married. People want to have children. People want to do things in life. But there's also an experience in salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's an experience. There's power there. Some of the songs that we have in here, and the song Nothing But the Blood, back in 1876, Robert Lowry wrote Nothing But the Blood. You can find that song on page 118. Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. In our song books, there's several songs. And I just sang one, Are You Washed in the Blood? Are you washed in the blood? See, I thought about this as I was putting this together. I thought, Lord, help us. We don't ever want to take blood out of the thought of salvation. I mentioned many a times, if people come to an altar of prayer and repent from sin, but it's the blood that covers our sins. It's the blood that does the work. The power of the blood, we have to come to an understanding of that. Are you washed in the blood? Another song says, there is a fountain filled with blood. Power in the blood of Jesus Christ. In the back of our song books, in the what they call topical index, there's several songs here. One of the verses, I ain't going to read them all. Alas, then did my Savior bleed. I'm redeemed by the power of the blood. There's a fountain filled, and there is a fountain open on the Savior's side. The blood. All these songs indicate the blood. There's a whole bunch more there. We're not going to read all through them, but the blood. There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. From the very beginning, God required blood. You know, sometimes we may, as saints, we may even wonder, and sometimes we don't understand all that. We don't understand all the thoughts of how God dealt with the blood. But from the very beginning, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, and God made Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden and told them to take care of the garden, and he gave them one command and one command only. They can eat of all the trees of the garden except the one tree. They're not to eat of that tree. And we know as Eve yielded to that and gave to her husband, and he did eat, and God had to remove them from the garden. And we see that when God came down that time after they'd eaten and had partaken of the garden of the tree of that, the fruit of that particular tree, and he came down, Adam and Eve had put fig leaves on them. They had covered themselves. And God said, who did tell you that you were naked? So God removed them from the garden, but God said, that's not good enough. And we see later on that God made coats for them, clothed them, to cover them. Even though they were the only two people on earth at that time, God made coats. And the purpose of the coats was they were to kill an animal, as we read here in Exodus, as God told Moses there, to kill the animal, to kill either the sheep or the goat, to kill the animal for a sacrifice. God had Adam and Eve to kill an animal to make the coats, to take the coats and make take the skin and make coats of them. But they did that also for the purpose that they can have a relationship with God, a sacrifice. And how we know that, as it keeps on going in the next couple chapters there, or the very next chapter, we see that Adam and Eve had children, Cain and Abel, and we see that Cain and Abel had to give a sacrifice. They had offered something to the Lord. They had to offer an animal, offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And we see that as Abel, we know that Cain rose up and killed Abel because of his jealousy of what the sacrifice he did. But Abel, the Bible lets us know that Abel had brought a sacrifice to God of blood. But Cain did not. Cain brought a sacrifice of the fruit of the land. But God requires blood for sin. And Cain, Abel gave this sacrifice of the flock of his animals. But Cain did not. And God was wroth with Cain. And Cain rose up and slew Abel because of that. Exodus tells us here, and back here where we are in Moses, or where God told Moses, the blood shall be a token. The word token A thing serving as a visible or tangible representation of a fact. God told Moses here in verse 13, chapter 12 of Exodus, the blood shall be to you for a token. The things serve as a visible. Now, we don't really have any history or anything in the Bible, but how many of them may have been in trouble for putting blood on the doorpost? It was visible to people, not just to God, but it was visible to God. It was visible to people also. And he says, serving as a visible or tangible representation of a fact. Has the blood been applied to your house? Has the blood been applied to your life? Not your physical home. We don't put blood, we don't do animal sacrifice, but has the blood of Jesus Christ been applied to our life? Have we been able to apply and accept the blood of Christ? Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, verse 18. We'll pick up verse 18. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation receiveth by tradition from your fathers, verse 19, but with the precious blood of Jesus, amen, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Christ's blood shall be a token for us when we stand before Him one day. We're going to stand, every single soul will stand before God. And I know we mentioned many things. Our name should be in the Lamb's Book of Life. We should have a desire. The Bible says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Thank God that shouldn't be an issue for the saints. That would be an excitement to do that. We do that today. We bow before Him. We acknowledge He is Lord and Savior. We give Him praise. But he's going to see for the blood. Has the blood been applied to your life? We can't see the blood like we can on the doorpost. Today we don't walk around with blood on our bodies, blood on our house. We don't, and some people can put things. My mom always, and I don't even know what all the background of it, and I don't have one. If you have one, I don't have any fault for you to have one. She always wanted them stars that people put hang on the house. It said it's a Star of David. I never dig into it to figure out what it was. She never did have one, but she always wanted it. But you know, there are some people, they'll put things on the house, a cross, a star. They'll put God is love or something, verse. But that doesn't mean what that sign says, mean that the blood's been applied to our lives. The blood's been a part of us. Like as that blood on the doorpost, we don't have the blood to apply to us, but the only way that people can indicate that the blood has been applied, by living holy. By living pure, by living righteous, by living godly. In this present world, the Bible says. I think the verse says that. Living this way in this very present world. Many times people think, oh, well, I can't live that way until I get to heaven. Thank God we can live holy. We can live godly, we can live righteously in this present time by the help of the Lord and by the power of the blood. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ, I thank God, hasn't weakened. You know, there are some springs in our world. You know what a spring is, right? Where water comes up. Anybody, Sister Jerry, do you have a well? Do you work off a well? No. You still, yeah. Anybody? Nobody in here has a well, right?
I grew up with one.
You know, a lot of us had wells, but you know, wells, unfortunately, they can run dry. And wells are very expensive to dig and get one. And if you have a well that runs dry, and some people build a home, and they have professional companies to come out, and they say, we're going to dig for a well, and they might dig, and they don't hit it. They got to dig another spot, dig. And sometimes they got to dig a couple spots before they find a well, and it can be very expensive. And sometimes those wells can run dry. You get a drought, you get a long dry season and things. They say, I don't know what it is after this rain. We probably had almost close to 4 inches of rain the last several days. But they said we're about 5 inches or a little bit more over 5 inches below in their table levels right now. But I thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ never runs dry. It never minimizes. It never weakens. It continues to flow. The one song says, the merit of his blood will not decrease. I can see someone back in the Old Testament bring a lamb for sin. God says it'll be a token to us. I can see someone that maybe have sin and they carry a little lamb in. And they give it to the priest and he's a sacrifice. I can see that. I can see that that tangible thing that they did. A lot of people want to do the same thing today. They want to have something that represents some outward show that represents that they accepted Jesus Christ. I thought this was interesting. My son told me about this and I looked it up. And then you know, he's been showing you this. But anybody seen Coca-Cola with a yellow cap yet? Anybody heard of it yet? You know how Coca-Cola has, they've always had a red cap, regular Coke, and then I think Diet, and it has a silver, and Zero has a black. So the identification of different ones. Now they've got a yellow. So since you've never seen it, the yellow cap indicates on a pass for Passover, observant for the Jews to refrain from eating that during the Passover, they observe the Jews refrain from eating leavened food or foods with leavened ingredients. The yellow cap indicates that the soda is kosher or fit for drinking on the Passover. I'm glad you laugh because that's the weakness of people's salvation. That's the minimal of people's salvation. To not have an understanding of the power of Jesus Christ, the blood, to go deeper into those things. In verse 18, here in 1 Peter, it says, "For as much as ye know not, and know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things." We weren't redeemed with corruptible things, and he goes on and he says, silver and gold. Somebody said, I think Brother Harlan might have mentioned, we can't buy this. We can't earn it. We can't do enough good deeds. There's nothing that we can do, give, or trade, or anything to earn the blood of Jesus Christ except through repentance. Because what happens, there are many people that can give to the church. Some people can be in a part of a mega church and say, I bought the steeple for them. I bought the pews. I bought the piano. I bought the pulpit. I bought the entertainment system, the PA system. I did this. And they have their name on a wall. You know, you've gone in hospitals before, and I'm not discrediting that. Hospitals that have some walls that have plaques and some people's names and what they've donated and how they've contributed to the hospital, whatever. And some people do the same thing, even with churches, to gain favor that they think, because I've given so much money, and I believe that's why he says this here in verse 18, for as much as you know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, I thank God you can't buy this. Amen. You can be the richest individual in the world. There is nothing, you cannot buy one inch of the blood of Jesus Christ. It has to be given to us by salvation, by repentance. But people desire, they can make donations and be a someone in good standings in some church. But we're redeemed by the blood of Christ. Let's go to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation chapter 7. I really like these two verses. Verse 13 and 14. And one of the elders answered and said unto me. He's speaking to John here. What are these which are arrayed in robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which are out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Thank the Lord. Saints, one day we're going to stand before Almighty God. And we're going to be given an announcement and a credit there. These are those that have washed their robes. Come out of the great tribulation, have washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. Isaiah said, your sins shall be like red, shall be crimson as red, They shall be washed in the blood, and they shall be as white as snow. Pure. Pure. Some years ago, I brought a Wednesday night lesson. I appreciate Sister Bush. I really, really miss her. She was just a real blessing to me and the congregation. And if you might remember this, I don't even remember any of the lesson except for this part, and because she made a comment of it. I had that whiteboard. I have a whiteboard and had it up here on the easel there. And I cleaned it as best as I could. I mean, I cleaned every square inch to make sure. And I said, this is how we represent ourselves to God. Pure, white. We've been dipped in the blood of Christ and we've been clean. And I took a black marker and I put one tiny dot up in the corner. I said, but one sin, one spot affects that whole whiteboard. And Sister Bush, during testimony, she says, you know, as I looked at that board before you did that, I just looked at the whole board. But once you put that dot, the only thing I could see was that dot. As much as white was already, the only thing I could see was that dot. And it made an impression on her, and her testimony made an impression on me. But Isaiah says, though your sins be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Zechariah says, and we sang the song there, in that day there shall be a fountain open. See, that's what they were looking for back in the Old Testament. They were looking for that day. By faith, they were looking for a Messiah. By faith, they were looking for the Son of God to come and to have that fountain. And Zechariah said, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitations of Jerusalem for the sin and for uncleanness. One song we have in our songbook is page 293. And he refers to that verse there. There's a fountain open in the house of God where the vilest of sinners may go and all test the power of the crimson flood of the blood that makes whiter and snow. Verse 2, when that fountain was opened and the Savior's side had a thief did rejoice in that day. And when dying, Lord, remember me, he cried, oh, the blood washed his sins all the way. Verse 4, I have overcome now by the blood of the Lamb, and I'm clothed in a raiment so white, and I'm on my journey to that glorious land where forever I'll dwell in the light. Verse 5, what are these we just read here in Revelation? What are these in spotless robes, and whence came they? As they singing with psalms in their hands, these through the tribulation gained the victory, having washed in the blood of the Lamb. Of course, says, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord, I am washed in the all-cleansing blood of the Lamb. And my robes are whiter than the driven snow. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. You know, saints, I think sometimes I often wonder, Lord, when we make heaven, will some of these songs ring in our minds? Some of these songs ring from the angels of heaven singing some of that last verse. These are they, the spotless. See, we're going to not just be, in a sense, just saints of God. I believe we're going to be precious jewels in Christ's eyes. And in heaven, and the angels looking at us, as John looked here, who are these? Who are these? They said, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, they are they that come out of the great tribulation. We're in a tribulation today. We're in a great tribulation, just living day by day. But by the power of the blood, and we make heaven our home, these are they that come out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And I can just imagine the angels singing that song. That these are they that come out of the great tribulation, having washed in the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord, I am washed. Amen. In the all-cleansing blood of the Lamb. And my robes are whiter than the driven snow. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb. Another song says, there is wonder working power in the blood. Thank God, not only does the blood have power to save, the blood has power to keep us. The blood has power to heal us. The blood has power to to just take care of us all the way, make us all the way through to heaven. We see that in the Old Testament, that blood had to be sacrificed for them to enter into the first room, as we talked about, the first room being the holy room. And then there was a golden altar there right before the curtain of the second room. That same blood that was offered out there, the same blood had to be applied to that altar also. The blood of Jesus Christ. There is wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been washed in the blood this evening? Are your garments white as snow?
Amen.
By the help of the Lord and by the grace of God. And Lord, if something spots it, thank God we can repent and God can wash us free from the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you.
Let's have our closing song. That's on page 179. Page 179.
Mentioned, I need to have a real quick meeting with the board.